The Share Pickers Weekend Podcast with Justin, Paddy, Peter and Steve. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the Weekend Podcast. I'm joined by Paddy, Pete, Steve. You're all right, lads.
Hey,
if everything goes to plan, all right, and people are listening to this on a Saturday, I'm probably 35,000 feet in the air, guys.
Sounds like quite a good party.
Yeah, I'm high. Yeah, because I'm going on holidays. That's if they don't change the rules again. Yeah. Because this government, don't get Paddy started, for heaven's sake. I'm surprised how quiet Paddy is on the old politics on the WhatsApp group. Pad, you've hardly mentioned it.
Well, you've come round. You know now, don't you? The penny's dropped for you finally. So
it's more than a penny.
There's no point. There's no one else to convince. Like we're all in agreement. They're a bunch of shysters.
Yeah. Mm. Well, all along I've said I'm not a big fan. I just it's Corbyn versus I thought Corbyn. But now he's looking like a good option. He's like bring back Corbyn.
They say it's chaos or what do they describe themselves as? They basically said
another C word.
Yeah.
Chaos or another
C
word.
Do you know what? It's come to the state where then Boris Johnson and Carrie announced their birth, and I thought, I don't believe you. The birth of the kid. I thought, I don't believe you. You're lying. And I honestly didn't believe.
That can be conveniently, because that went top of the news stories. No one cares. And also.
No, I thought it was a spin. I honestly thought, he's such a liar now. I thought, I don't believe that he's had a baby. That's just, they just put that out there. I mean, it's nuts, isn't it? Absolutely berserk and crazy to think there's a big party with 20-odd people downstairs and you know nothing about it whatsoever. Normally, I expect down the street, it's not that loud, is it? Really? From 6 till 2 in the morning?
Yeah.
But you've got sort of 20 people drinking and, if you're drinking at 2 in the morning with quite a few people, you're at the stage where, let's be honest, sober people go home way before 2 a.m., don't they? Right? Now, if you are there at 2, you're quite drunk, quite loud. There's no way, anyone's going to think, Boris is going, it's quite noisy. Is it burglars or something? What's going on down there? I mean, it's insane, isn't it? Absolutely insane. And we know you're lying. We know it.
And Boris, being Boris the showman, he's going to be right in the middle of the party, isn't he? He's not going to, he's upstairs unaware of it. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. I know. And that's why I honestly thought about the babies. That's a lie. You haven't had a baby.
Yeah.
Prove it, Because let's be honest, he's talking about his kids now, but he won't talk about any other kids he's had. He won't reveal how many kids he's had. No one knows how many kids he's got. That's the state of it. I mean, that's a clue, isn't it? The Prime Minister of the country will not tell you how many kids he's got or who they're with. It's like, this guy, is very, he's very selective on what he wants to tell you,
Yeah. How do we end up here, man?
Crazy. But, what's next, though? What happens next? I mean,
when is our next general election?
I don't know, but they're hoping
soon enough.
Yeah, they're hoping to brush it on the carpet for a bit. How long has he been in now, Pad? Boris?
It's 2 years, I think, isn't it?
Two and a half years, yeah.
It was 2 years, because they had it at Christmas, the general election, didn't they?
2 years, it's 2 years.
You're sticking with that, Pad, are you? It's actually 2 years, though. 2 years. Okay.
Two years.
So they're going to have to pull some rabbits out of the hat, aren't they, to win that now, I think. It's like, are they hoping that people will forget the shambles has gone on?
Yeah.
This is what
they're doing, yeah. And some people will.
Yeah.
It's not like they're going to stop, is it?
Yeah, no, I've had people on, Radio 5 that opposing views, and some people are saying, well, let's be honest, we've all had, this guy was on there saying, well, listen, I own a factory, during Christmas, one lady came on and said, her grandfather's father died. She couldn't see them. He had travelled 200 miles, sat outside a window in an old people's home. And this other guy came on and he said, well, I've got a factory and I know that's awful what's happened to you, but we had, mince pies and a couple of beers and, on the last day. And I thought, that's not too bad, but they were like 2 in the morning and they denied it. You're on Radio 5 and you're admitting it. So it's a different thing. Shambles, be like the markets, shambles. But we're heading in to a very rich period as far as the market's concerned. They're reckon December to May, the best time of the markets. You're going to invest. If you're going to pick, if you've got a choice, pick 6 months when to invest. December to May is good to invest because it starts off the Santa rally. And I've said this many times. I think 2022 is going to be good, guys. It's going to be really good. The small cap, micro cap markets in a bear market. I was looking at all the stocks and there are plenty of stocks. I think the biggest 100 fallers on AIM are down over 40%. And even the American indices don't tell the truth because you've got the big five holding it up. I saw a picture actually on Twitter. It's like a building falling over. There's some massive poles stuck up, stop this building falling down. And they had tickers like Apple, Amazon on the poles because the rest of it is something like the S&P 500. 30% of the stocks in the S&P 500, that's 500 stocks, are over 50% down from their highs. And of course, you don't know that because the big guys are holding up. The big guys, the top five, take up 25% because it's by market capitalization. 25% of that indices. So as long as they do well, it sort of disguises what's happening below them, you know, and no one really sees that. So, and I'm quite, that's quite a bullish sign, I think. When you've had a tough sort of, you know, 9 months we've had pretty much now in the markets, that's quite a bullish sign, I think. So I think we'll revert to mean Omicron, right, is a blessing in disguise a little bit because, you know, as the infections go on, we know they're more transmissible, a bit more mild, they're saying, or through immunity or vaccinations or whatever. But it's put the brakes on inflation a little bit, you know, because global growth now is thinking, oh, it's going to slow down a little bit. And so the Bank of England has pushed out the date for which they're raising interest rates. And so you'll have sort of prices coming. That was the worry.
Yeah.
The worry was that the markets, you know, all the central banks are going to raise interest rates. But now they're pausing a bit to see the effects of Omicron. So it'll cool it down a bit, hopefully. And in 2022, supply chains will ease up and we'll be back to normal. All the crazy, you know, cryptocurrencies and all that will probably collapse, you know, and implode. Because let's be honest, that's an insane market. It's completely insane, isn't it? It when you actually think about it, you get used to something, don't you? But then when you think about it, it is actually insane. I mean, it's nowhere near as... I don't think blockchain is as influential as the internet. You know, I mean, we're on the internet now, and it enables blockchain, the internet, pretty much. You know, you need the internet for blockchain, don't you? But you don't need blockchain for the internet. So when the dot-com bubble happened and exploded, it was kind of justified. Even though the valuations went crazy, everything went up. Like there were small caps in a name at the time, just changing the name overnight to dot-com. They had no policy, no strategy in the internet, you know, forum space. But they just changed their name if they're a shell company, and they double overnight. And so, but now it's even more crazy than that. Like I say, you've got dog coins worth $21 billion. Doesn't make any sense. Yeah. Doesn't make sense whatsoever, does it?
No, it doesn't. You're right. And it's going to be, you know, crypto crash, isn't it? They're going to be like the dot-com boom. It'll be the crypto crash. It will be a thing.
It will. It's going to affect a lot. Yeah. Do you know about Tether, by the way?
What now?
Tether. Have you heard of Tether?
I've heard of the word tether, yes.
Good.
When you tie something with a rope.
That's it.
Yes. Have you heard of the cryptocurrency Tether?
No.
How's it spelled? Is it missing all the vowels?
It's got
T-T-H-R.
T-E...
What?
Sorry, T-E-T-H-E-R.
Very relaxed.
Sorry.
Were you tethering then?
Sorry, I was untethered then. Yeah, my two cheeks were untethered. I didn't think you heard that.
Something amused you, isn't it? Yeah. The wind?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it is. Really.
Very professional.
The weather's dreadful.
You don't get this on Bloomberg.
That's what they're missing. Yeah. We need a guy who has a wind problem, was one of the presenters. That's what we need. That's what's missing. That's about as insane as crypto. Tether basically, right? If you want to exchange money for dollars to cryptocurrency, you know, it's hard work to come out of fiat currency into crypto, you know? So they've created something called stable coins, which are linked to the dollar, you know? Tether's the biggest one.
Who's created these?
Well, the same kind of people who create all the other coins.
People. Oh, right. Okay.
But the problem with Tether is, of course, it's supposed to have as much dollars, because people transfer into Tether and then can exchange between them easily on different exchanges all the time. So it's as much dollar backing as it is market cap, you know? They've never shown any accounts of where their money is. Apparently, they're now worth $76 billion, okay, market cap. It's the fourth biggest cryptocurrency. It's basically, if it collapses, it'll take the whole thing down. And it's very opaque, the management there. Even SEC has asked them about their backing. They said, no, and they came out with the fact it's not all cash, some of it is debt. Some we've got debt in theirs, and some people said, well, it's based from China, started off in China. I think it's based in Hong Kong now. But they're saying Evergrande could be in there, debt, all that stuff, the real estate. Because real estate in China is massive, of course. It's like 26% of GDP is through real estate. That's imploding. And they say, is Tether linked to that in some way? Have they invested in debt of real estate? Because there's a load of debt, there's a massive debt bubble there. And so they say if Tether goes under, it not only affects the cryptocurrency world, because like I said, you've got Bitcoin, Ethereum, Binance Coin, then Tether, the top four biggest. Right. And so if that implodes, and there's like, no one's, they've never shown their accounts. How can that be? And how can it be a $76 billion company? That's one of the biggest companies. If it was listed in the UK, be one of the biggest companies in the FTSE 100. And yet they've never shown their accounts. How does that? That's insane, isn't it? Absolutely insane.
Yes.
So if that implodes, it'd be very, very scary. And in fact, someone said Tether has gotten so large that it threatened to put the US financial system at risk. If it was a playground snowball fight, it escalated so widely that Joint Chiefs of Staff were being called into a nuclear war, someone said. And oddly, they said they've got... this is very odd. Put it this way, right? This is where it gets worrying. I read this article. It's in Bloomberg, provided by an accounting firm. It included a pie chart showing that about $30 billion of its dollars holdings are in commercial paper, which is debt, short-term loans to corporations. That would make Tether the seventh largest holder of such debt, right up there with Charles Schwab and Vanguard Group. Right? But wow. A team canvassed Wall Street traders to see if anyone knew about Tether making these buys in commercial paper. No one had. And an insider said, it's quite a small market. A lot of people know each other, in this market. If there were a new entrant of this size, we'd know about it. So they said, they haven't got commercial paper. They haven't got, so what have they got? And in fact, the article is entitled, Has Anyone Seen Tether's Billions? So it's really worrying that this is...
Start writing the screenplay now, basically.
Yeah. Well, it's been around for ages, this talk about Tether.
But the big story is still to come, isn't it, probably?
Yeah. Listen, okay. any I want to keep it quite short because I'm off on holiday. I've got lots of things to do.
Sorry for keeping you on your podcast.
Yeah, it's
fair enough.
That's all right. Any questions on anything? We can talk about the stock, of course, which it's been now within Share Pickers Investment Club for a month. So I give them.
I have a quick question.
Steve's got a quick one.
Go on, Steve.
I'm just going to talk about XP Factory and why it's dropped so much this week.
Well, blame the Conservatives, I say.
Is that just solely down to the Omicron
fear?
Yeah, blame pretty Boris. Pretty much. It's blame Boris, isn't it? Really, I think that's a good hashtag. Blame Boris. People just worry, aren't they? Now, sentiment essentially, will bookings die up? Will people stop booking stuff? When there's no reason to do it. What's annoying about this
shows the lack of knowledge in the market for what that company does, though, isn't it?
That
is one where you have to book in small groups in managed areas, like they're perfectly set up for this scary future. Like if the market understood how that company works a little bit better, they probably go, this is one that's perfectly suited for this, and maybe one you should stick your money into rather than the other way around.
It's not going to be around for long. Even all the experts say, they don't know how, how fast it will transmit. This is quite transmissible, Omicron, but the wave will be done by January, So that's just the start of the year. And they say that even now, the EU, have just kind of seen, I think the EU cases in the EU of Omicron, they seem quite mild. Essentially, it's a cold. For most people, they're so worried about it. I assume it's just sentiment. People are worrying that people are cancelling. And you get people like the Welsh, Mark Drakeford. Oh, we're having a lockdown, is there? Lock it down, boys. So what for? Every time I lock it down, I get on the telly, don't I? So I get a bit of a profile going. So lock it down and I'll be on the telly a bit more. That's what happened. That's what it's about, isn't it? I mean, I do believe that the first ministers of Scotland and Wales, they just get a bit more airtime when they just go a bit more extreme than Boris, you know? And because everyone starts to worry, don't they? Oh, they're locking down again. What's annoying, though, is now we're now in a worse situation than we were when the lockdown, because at least with lockdown, you know, the businesses that were affected by the restrictions were compensated. Now they're not. Yeah, hospitality again is taking a hit. They're not getting any bounce back loans, no furlough, nothing like that. So I think government, and I said on Twitter, I said businesses should not support this unless the government support them in these restrictions, because it's going to affect them. You can't just lock it down and stop people trading. It's affecting people's livelihoods and jobs. You know, there's small businesses building up debt that are going through. You know, there's been plenty of people who've topped themselves on these issues, and yet the government are not standing behind them. They should stand behind them. You know, okay, we'll abide by it, but you've got to help us out. Meet us halfway, fellas. Come on. And there's them. So, I mean, it's not just the Christmas parties they're lying about. I just think they're going about this the wrong way. You know, they need to support business. So they're messing up on many levels here, many fronts. What are they doing right at the moment?
Is there a lockdown?
Boris came out.
You've got to wear a mask and maybe not go to work.
Yeah, but you've got to wear a mask. But there's mutterings on the sidelines about this, like Scotland just said now, don't have Christmas parties. So that's going to affect hospitality. Of course it is, you know? And there's that scientist said you should social distance and not go out and all that stuff. So you get these murmurings around, and of course, you obviously don't know. People are thinking, oh, well, we go to lockdown now. So there's all this worry. But what I would say is this. Worry and fear, uncertainty, is a gift.
Yeah.
It's a stock market's way of offering you a cheap stock. That's all Buffett does. Buffett just, you know, when the stock market's high, and he uses a metric. He looks at the GDP of America compared to the price earnings of the S&P, you know? And when that ratio gets too high, you just start selling. And it's simple as that. And then all of a sudden, he knows there's going to be a crash sooner or later, or correction. Yeah. And then when there's fear in the streets, he just starts buying up the companies he wanted to buy up.
So, well, think about, you know, Dash Rakesh in March 2020 or whatever. And then, you know, a few months later, we're all here going, oh, I should have taken more advantage of that, didn't do that. Well, we're kind of here in a mini sort of Dash Rakesh now. Well, take advantage of it. And, you know, it will come back. It will, you know, six months, eight months, two years from now, wherever, you'll be going, cool, I bought XP Factory at 30p. Brilliant.
Well, it's not a time ever where there's been a worrying sell-off where, like I say, 6 months down the line, where you wouldn't have gone, wow, I wish I'd actually not worried and just pile in there. Because that is the opportunity. Like I said before, you know, stock market doesn't say we're having a sale on Friday. It does it without warning. And then everyone starts getting worried and scared. And that's the opportunity. That is the opportunity. That is the market. Yeah. If you can't see that, you're not going to make money. If you're not going to take advantage of those dips, you're not going to get a better price than the herd. The herd generally sell. They give you their stock for cheap if you want to, you know?
Yeah.
I've never liked Christmas parties anyway, so for me, this is great.
No, me.
There we go. Perfect.
They're always overrated, aren't they?
Yeah.
Really, I love a Christmas party.
Yeah, I quite like
it. Being self-employed is not really an option to happen anymore.
Oh.
Well, someone invite Steve round, please.
Yeah.
I have. I've been invited to.
There must be some amazing regional offices in Cardiff having big sale, big Christmas parties.
Yeah. Are you going to one, Steve, at all?
Yeah. BBLA Christmas party.
My old workplace has invited me out, so.
Oh, okay.
That's nice.
Your old workplace? Where is that, Steve? Poundland.
Capital.
All right, so, sorry. Yeah. Go on. Oh, Peter!
In that deserted office upstairs.
Yeah.
No, downstairs is the deserted office upstairs.
Oh, is it?
Peter's camp Christmas party last week. Do you see that?
Yeah.
You had to get dressed up for that. That's a proper regional Christmas party where they take you to the capital. Come to the capital. It's got bright lights. You have to wear a tie, mind. And this lady's dancing. Oops, I've got a request for screen time from Monty. I don't know if you heard that noise. What was that, Pete? Was that your decision to join that, literary dance-a-thon? What was that about? What happened there?
Was it my decision? I wasn't really involved in the organising of it, but we're all South East based, aren't we? So London's not exactly, it's not really a mecca. One or two people actually live in London. There you go.
Ooh,
so,
I say, you should come to London. It's amazing.
I know,
there's loads of things going on.
It's not that crazy. That was good. A really good laugh. Really good evening. We like our team, so we like spending money on them. There you go.
Did you get a minibus there and back then?
Yeah.
No, hotel.
Hotels.
Oh, you're pushing it, haven't you? Yeah.
Did you get a room each, or did you have to share with someone?
Some people shared. Yeah, I had a room to myself, but yeah.
Oh, so the management get a room to themselves. Oh, all the rest,
yeah, it's them and us. There we go.
That's slightly awkward when you have to share a hotel room with someone you barely know from the office, isn't it? That can really force a friendship.
Yes, it's hot.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, was there any hotel room swapping? What's the goss, Steve? Pete, who have you touched who?
Steve, but I want to hear Steve's thoughts. Yeah. Was there any? Not that I know of. There you go.
Really? No one touched.
Sorry, what?
No one touched your bubbles.
Sorry, South London.
Yeah. Anyway, XP Factory. Yeah, it's an opportunity. This company's going to do about what is it? I think it's about 16 million in revenue this year. It's going to be double almost that next year, and 43 the year after. So it's a very fast growing business.
I think they'll do more.
Yeah, they're pretty good. I mean, they're very conservative in that. I mean, they're using averages, and as we know, there are sites. In fact, the O2 is opening up, and that's a lot bigger than average, and Oxford Street, and all that stuff. So yeah, it's fine. It's an opportunity. Just sometimes, you know, you got to grin and bear it. If the price goes below where you're comfortable at, and you're underwater, you just got to grin and bear it. And think, you know what? Think long term. Zoom out. Where's it going to be in 3 years? Give a company, a small company, you know, starts earning profits. Give it 3 years, you know. Just zoom out a bit, you know, and think, what about the dip here for? Don't worry about it. It's got cash, it's going to be profitable, it's growing, it's fine. It's a hot, exciting
sector. I do that all the time, and you tell me, you still in that? doing the 3 year thing.
That's with a resource company, you know, shoveling dirt in Africa somewhere. You know, that's different, Steve. You know.
I think now, you know, you think, got to think 3 years down the line and we'll all be dead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, if we are, you've got nothing to worry about.
Great.
Yeah. Nothing to worry about, exactly. Yeah. What's the point worrying? I'll be dead in 3 years, man. Exactly. The definition of optimism, Warren Buffett, he's a long-term holder. He's 91.
Exactly.
I mean, what the heck? He's been the long game. It's like, wow. It served him well. He doesn't mind.
We're rapidly approaching the 10th, which is tomorrow, because we're recording this on a Thursday night. What's the plan with Truefin? Surely we're expecting news,
yes,
aren't we?
Yes.
Oh, good question,
yes.
Pete. Yes.
Yes.
Thanks.
I think there will be news because we'll find out tomorrow. Recording okay. Because there was news exactly on the same date when they said last time. Now, whether it's going to be an extension or whether it's going to be an extension on extension. Do you remember that advert in Wales? I don't know if it was Wales or Nationwide. Do you remember that, Steve? You're probably too young.
No.
Albright.
No.
Bitter. Albright Bitter. And basically, they had this pub and said, now we'd like to welcome. And there's a big opening there, the mayor there. We are, because apparently they served this beer in this pub, and it got so popular, they had to put an extension, and then they had an extension on the extension, you know? And then the mayor around all the time said, right, here we are then, fourth time this year, and the mayor Jones is here, and he was announced the extension, on the extension, on the extension, yay! And everyone drinking up, and it was Albright. And that was from the 70s, I think, late 70s, early 80s. But I don't think
I was born in the 70s, just.
I was born in the 70s. Oh, you weren't born. But I don't know if that beer exists anymore. Albright Bitter. Anyway.
Great story.
This is quite a tangent.
But extension. So will there be an extension on the extension? That's what I'm saying.
Okay, right.
With Truefin. I don't know, because there was an extension last time, wasn't it? It was at the end of the trial. It was supposed to be on the 6th June. Or was it 10th of June, wasn't it? And then they said, will they, you know, sign a commercial deal, which would be 5 years with Lloyds, of course, the biggest bank in the UK, pretty much, which is a big deal, very significant for Truefin. And then they said, but the R&S was good. It was like, it was very bullish. They're increasing their depth into Lloyds and all that stuff and more sales. So it was a good thing, but they just wanted more time. But the market took it as a negative and went down. So I'm assuming it's going to do that again. But in my mind, I've gone on to, if you look on the Truefin, you know, Disco channel there, lots of people have gone into Lloyds, and all the terms and conditions mentioned Satago, which is, you know, the Truefin operating company. But if you look at the terms and conditions for their finance invoicing, you know, section of the website, there's Satago mentioned all over it. And it's been now in that system for a year. Now, I do know that there was two systems they had. They're a legacy system, which apparently is absolutely rubbish, they weren't happy with, and that's why they're looking for a third-party software thing. And they've been doing this trial for a year now. So in my mind, it deepens the relationship. They're not going to do it for a year and rip it all out, do they? A year's worth of, you know, embedding in the system. Actually, there's plenty of businesses now using Satago software in Lloyds. What are they going to say? Oh, we're going to stop using this now and try and find something else. So I think it's going to happen. Just when it will happen, I don't know. Who knows?
Then the more depressing part of that is that it's already priced in and, it, you know, it's actually announced. Exactly. And you,
nothing
happens to the share price, yeah.
No, I don't think so. It's risen, is it? I think...
I know, but you sort of think, no, maybe big people that are sitting on the sidelines waiting for the news and then they come in, but who knows? People might be listening to this on a Saturday and go, yeah, the news was yesterday, it's been amazing. Why are you talking about this?
It's been done, you fools. Move on. Exactly. move on.
Yeah. Recorded on a Thursday, ridiculous.
Yeah, you tweeted about it on Friday, you fool. You had the CEO on the podcast, you nutter. What are you talking about? Yeah, well, this is recording on a Thursday. That's exactly it. So what I can mention as well is the new stock that, I haven't mentioned previously publicly out to the investment club. And it is...
Oh, yes.
It is...
Oh, go on.
GTEC. GTC.
Oh.
Oh.
I knew
that's
about
not,
that.
That's not what I bought. That's not the one I bought.
Is it? Oh, okay. Well, you should spend more time in the club, Pad. You know what I'm saying? So GTEC, up until this year, were pretty much a consultancy service using their software as a service to provide sort of geospatial expertise for companies, governments to better locate, develop, and manage energy assets, you know, natural resources. So they work with petroleum companies who are looking for, you know, maybe oil or gas or, you know, rare earths for EVs and all that stuff. And essentially, they provide this software service. They go there, map it, and geolocate it and all that stuff, and then bring up all these massive presentations saying, well, you're likely to find oil in this area here, whatever, or mineral resources here. And now, this year, this is the exciting bit. So with that business, I suppose it's going to do about 5 million, less than that, 5 million in recurring revenue. 5 million in revenue, but half of that is recurring revenue. So it's a good little business. But they acquired, this is the exciting bit, they acquired H2 Green this year, which is a company, a developer and operator of green hydrogen infrastructure. And they're going to be developing...
Oh, that's the best kind.
Yeah, it is. Green is... I mean, if you know anything about hydrogen, green is the best. Smells the best.
Now.
Yeah, it smells the best, looks the best, everything. But green hydrogen is produced... Because hydrogen is the most abundant substance in the world, known to man. It's everywhere. And the good thing is, look, if you create hydrogen from renewable sources, like solar or wind or hydro, if you create electric from that, then... That is, you can separate the water, the H2O, of course, is the chemical symbol for water. But you separate the H from the O, because, you know, it's using a sieve, kind of thing. Or electrolyzer, that's what they use. But all these little H's then fall to one side, that's a hydrogen. All the little O's fall to the other side. And then you've got clean green hydrogen, which can be used, of course, for rocket fuel. That's what they use.
Where do the twos go?
I don't know where the twos go. I think twos are... Oh. Yeah, I have no idea. I think they get caught in the strainer, in the...
Down the toilet.
Yeah, yeah.
Number two
twos. Hey! All right! Steve's there.
Oh, Steve. Beautiful.
So I knew he was here for something. Just the number twos.
Chemistry gag there. That's a chemistry gag. Yeah. That's the first chemistry gag on this podcast.
There's not many podcasts in the world, I think, right? We've come up with a gag on H2O there, talking about electrolyzers and stuff like that. That is unique. And that's why this podcast should be nominated for something.
The worst podcast ever.
No, the best chemistry gag. The best chemistry gag in the section of green hydrogen goes to Steve Martin.
Yes.
Thank you very much. There's only one nomination, but he won it. So they get that, the green hydrogen. And this, of course, they're saying this is the way to net zero. There's no bigger trend in the world right now than the race to net zero, you know, to decarbonize the globe, and especially, you know, otherwise it's saving our planet. How can you get a bigger trend than that? We're all going to die, ladies and gentlemen, by 2050, unless we get, you know...
Unless you're in China or India or most of the other countries are still building coal power stations.
But apparently, unless we keep the temperature down at 1.5 or less, and that's all about carbon, get the carbon out of the air, we're all going to die. So there's not a bigger trend in this, you know?
So the question is, do you hedge your bets and kind of spread yourself across a few stocks in this trend,
or do you go all in on one or two? Yes, could do. Absolutely, Peter. Good question.
Could do.
But I hadn't.
Or could not do.
Yeah. Well, if I was going to do that, I could have kept IKEA, you know, but I didn't. IKEA's doing well, isn't it, of late? It's going back up to £2. But that's a very hot topic. I'll give you an example. IKEA valued at 201.
Well, I don't quite see the same. Sorry. Ilika are, you know, battery technology. About hydrogen. So I'm not saying...
Well, no, it's in energy, isn't it?
That's a really broad topic, though. I was talking about more about different companies within the hydrogen space.
Oh, okay. Well, if you want to go for electrolyzers, there's a lot of questioning about whether this is viable, because at the moment, green hydrogen is expensive, and that's largely down to electrolyzers, okay? These are the filters that separate the H's from the 2's and the O's. The biggest player in that field is a London-listed company called ITM. But trouble is, they are worth $2.6 billion. We missed the boat on that one. And yet the revenue is very small still, but they are the biggest producer of this. Anyway, listen, H2 Green, which is the subsidiary acquired by GTEC, they are developing a national network of hydrogen production, storage and retail facilities, providing customers with a secure supply of low-cost green hydrogen. They've already signed deals with SGN, which is a gas network operator, and SGN themselves are doing a pilot where they're going to fuel 100 residential houses using their gas, because, of course, you have to tinker around with it a little bit and, you know, do a bit of something. I don't know what to do technically, but there's
It's the same pipes.
So they use the gas network pipes and all that stuff for hydrogen, green hydrogen. And so they are doing this by 2023. They've got 100 homes called SG, I think 100 the project's called, where they're going to be supplying, you know, heating to 100 homes and all that stuff with green hydrogen. Anyway, H2 Green have got a deal, MOU with SGN, gas network provider. They've also got a deal with Evershalt Railway, who've just announced they've bought 10 hydrogen trains from a company called Alstom, who have also supplied the trains in Germany. Germany already running green hydrogen trains. And also they've done a deal with Element 2, who are building apparently the largest refueling, hydrogen refueling network across the country, like stations basically. But the interesting bit, so they've just announced their first deal, first sort of package, GTEC, H2 Green, as a Shoreham site, right? Shoreham Port. It's a green thing. They're looking to use solar and all that wind and even use the auction for the waste plant. But their broker said this deal, this is what's interesting. What's good is, first of all, look at stocks. You're the small caps, you look at micro caps. Almost we want to get a micro cap to go to a mid cap. Have you got the scalability for that? This deal is very scalable. No capital required. They don't have to put any money down. They've got $6.7 million in cash, by the way. They're $23 million market cap, so the EV, take the cash off. They're on about $16 million enterprise value. So no capital requirement for this, because they're using their software, their expertise, and all this to locate the best areas for hooking up hubs and all this. And all this, they get 20% of the project. There's other investors coming in at every site. There'll be different investors in. So it's not done by equity. You don't need to use any equity. But the broker said on this, 10 tonnes, I think, per annum of hydrogen produced, it will deliver 5.5 million of revenue, 2.2 million of cash or EBITDA, which is a 40% margin, nice margin, with no capital outlay. And they said this site is a blueprint, and they will roll us out across the UK and internationally using this kind of blueprint. Now, they've already got 30 sites in the pipeline with SGN. They're going, wow, really? So if you do the math on 30 sites on that blueprint, what you get at, what you come to, is basically 165 million revenue, what's 30 times 65 million EBITDA, where is it, the thing? Anyway, basically, on an EBITDA, 30 sites, 30 times 2.2, what's that? You can do that.
Pete, 64-ish.
Yeah, 66 is it? 2.2 times... God, I'm dreadful at maths. Times 30. That's 66 million in cash, right? 66 million cash. Put that on a modest EBITDA. We're talking about green hydrogen, you guys. It's one of the hottest, you know, products around. Just put an EBITDA 10, that's 660 million market cap valuation for GTEC. That is a 450 5% increase from where we are at now. Now, that's just saying if they manage to replicate those, you know, that one site across 30 sites. And they're saying, you know, that's 30 sites in the UK. They're saying internationally as well. So the upside here is potentially huge. Now, if you look at hydrogen itself, is it viable? I've been monitoring the news on a weekly basis, and it's getting hotter and hotter every day. There are countries announcing green hydrogen strategies, including the UK. And after COP26 especially, there have been deals being done every single day with countries and companies. And so I think we want to get to 5 gigawatts. Gigawatt, woo! 5 gigawatts!
No, not again. Yeah. No, no.
Come on, guys. No, no. 1 gigawatt! You want to do 1 gigawatt? So there was the UK strategy wants to get 5 gigawatts, right? Now, I'll show you how ambitious this is. 5 gigawatts on green hydrogen alone by 2030. Right, in 2019, there was only 200 megawatts globally of green hydrogen being produced, right? So you times up by 10, that's 2 gigawatts. That's not even half of where the UK want to be by 2030. But look at this. This is how it's grown in the last, let me just find this. It's gone from, I think, we've gone from 200 megawatts in 2019. Right now, we're at 6.3 gigawatts globally. There's been another gigawatt and a half in the last quarter, and they're building massively. They're reckoning to be at 30 gigawatts by 2030. And as just put that in value terms, Bloomberg reckons global green hydrogen production will skyrocket at a compound annual growth of 57% between 2019 and 2030. That means the production will rise from 40,000 tons per annum to 5.7 million tons in that period, in that 11 years. So it's massively, huge, growing. And as far as money piling in is concerned, it's crazy because I think Bloomberg also said there's going to be $173 trillion worth of investment needed to decarbonize the energy sector. So there's no bigger, hot trend than decarbonisation, the climate trend. And also within that, you've got green hydrogen, which seems like the fuel, especially for HGVs, trains, all that. Batteries aren't that good. That's why Tesla's been a bit quiet in the old. Do you remember a while back they announced the big truck? It just is a big, massive thing. Elon wanted to show off big truck based with EVs. It's not going to work unless batteries get a lot better, because half the truck's cargo is the battery. It doesn't work. It's not viable. Whereas hydrogen, you can refuel very quickly, and its power density is, I think, I don't know how many times better than batteries, but it's more appropriate for big cargoes because it doesn't take as much room. So I think it's going to be through industry. And also things like concrete making, steel making, those kind of industries would be better for hydrogen. So
who's their competition then?
Oh, there's no competition, Steve. Because they are. I mean, everyone's doing it. If you look around, there's people like BP, Shell, all these companies, INEOS, ploughing billions into green hydrogen. But if you can hook up a national network of hubs, for HGVs and all that stuff, that's what the showroom's doing at the start. It'll start off with powering, the local sort of forklifts and local HGVs, and it'll get bigger and bigger. There's three phases to this deal. What I like about it is no capital requirement from them. They are the enabler, basically, that'll bring all the resources together, plan it and sort it out, and they get a 20%, of the deal. So, I like it. I say you need. I'm not saying GTEC, but you need exposure somewhere to this clean energy, the decarbonisation of the globe, because there is no bigger trend. We're all going to die if it doesn't happen. We've got dates set on it. It's just going to sort of ramp up exponentially over the next few years. And you'll see more and more about green hydrogen coming online. Already it's changed. The news is coming out since COP26 has grown massively. Companies and governments are promising to deliver a certain amount of capacity by 2030. So it's got to be there. The only thing holding it back, like I said, was the cost. The cost will come down with the price of electrolyzers, and apparently they've come down by about 50% already, and they're going to come down by another 50% by 2030, I think it was, which may be not good for ITM if it gets more competitive. That's why I like it. I got my a little
let's set up an electrolyzer company, lads.
Yes, let's do that.
Let's jump into that market.
Okay, yes, do it.
We could use that gag, couldn't we? The H and the twos and those somewhere.
Oh, yeah, they'll love that.
Do that in our presentations, yeah.
Yeah.
What we do is we separate the H from the twos from the O's,
yes.
And the twos go down the toilet.
Yeah, and we do that in the presentation. So we all know the hydrogen, you know, will be stored to create fuel, and the O's, the oxygen, can be used for waste plants because apparently they use oxygen. They know this. They use oxygen in waste plants and in cleaning facilities. You know, when you what's it called when you. With water, when you get water flushed on the toilets and they clean them and whatever. Anyway, oxygen is used that oxygenate the water. So they use that for that.
Also, like, we breathe oxygen.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
I mean, that's another good use for it.
And in the presentation, Steve will say, but does anyone know what we do with the number twos?
And then comedy flush effects.
Yeah. We flush them down the toilet. Yeah, that's good. That's like, what's a Nutty Noah? Nutty Noah. Who's a resident at Centre Parks on Wednesdays in the Pancake House? That's his catchphrase. I boil it, flush it down the toilet. Kids love that. They love
cool.
it.
Okay, cool.
Cool. Anything else? Can you show us? That's good, isn't it? Yeah. Hopefully, we'll have some good news coming out. I think, I'm really up for the Santa Rally. We're up for 2022. It's a new year, new hopes, new dreams.
Yeah.
I think the market will reflect that, you know?
Let's hope it's better than this year.
It can't get any worse. I honestly think I can't remember a year this hard in my life. It's crazy, crazy. So
is this it for podcasts now for 2020?
For
2020. It stays a year behind.
Definitely for 2020, Steve. If we finished that a year ago, let's just bring up my diary. So I'm not back now until
Where are you going on holiday?
I'm going to the Dominican.
Oh, wonderful.
The Republic area?
Beautiful. It's beautiful there at Christmas.
Yeah, Dominican Republic. Yeah.
Are you coming back on Christmas Day again for the cheap flights?
Yeah, no, just before that. But this was a holiday booked for 2020, of course. So we couldn't, you know, we don't want to cancel it because, do you know what? The price is like three times now what it is now. I couldn't believe it. It's like phenomenal. I was like, how are they selling that? Who's buying that? There's another holiday we went to in Mexico, in a lovely hotel there. Right? We looked at the price of it. And for a family of four, you know, all inclusive, 26 grand for like 10 days. Who is paying 26 grand for 10 days holiday? It can't be worth that, surely. Yeah, the Conservative government.
Yeah.
The Cabinet Office, yeah. Marvellous. All right, then. I don't think we're going to top Steve's gag there. That was, really...
Are you going to do a video on GTAC?
Yes. I've done two videos, Steve. If you're in the Shippikers Investment Club,
I'm talking about the people who aren't. All right, I have seen the ones. Yeah,
that'll be going out.
Steve's
Friday.
Not in the club, so he's waiting.
Yeah, I'm trying to promote this for you, and you're just throwing it back in my face.
He's in the club.
But you have to go through the act, Steve. You just ask, is there a video for people not in the club? You can just say, are you going to do a video of the club? It's like local radio, isn't it? And how do you win that prize, Jason? Well, what you do is...
I did work in it for 12 years, so it's kind of natural to me.
Yeah. And what you have to do is double your money. Oh, I see. Oh. And is that quite easy? No. And if it goes so high... And you get wrong. It goes down. Oh, I see. The other presenter who's done the read with him 20 times, pretending they still don't know how the competition works. You know, but there is a video. I'll be emailing it out on Friday morn.
Great.
Okay.
Yeah, normally from a radio presenter, the sidekick, you get a bit more enthusiasm from that. Oh, can't wait for that. That'd be fantastic.
Are you recycling the video from the investment club or are you making a new one?
You've really put it down on that, haven't you?
Is it the same one?
And how do I get that, Justin?
I will bother watching it if it's the same one.
How do I get that, Justin? Is it, have you got some kind of an email list or something? Mm-hmm. Yes, I have, yes. Mm. Go to sharepickers.com, you scroll down, you'll see a little box there, put your first name in and your email address. And listen, all you need is your first name, because some people put their whole name in that first bit where it says first name.
What a waste of time that is.
Yeah. You would believe that, wouldn't you? How many people put more than one name in? It says first name, email address. There are so many people put their entire name in. I think, if you can't get that right, I don't know if you can understand the investment thesis behind my stock, you know. But
What is the ticker, Justin?
The ticker is GTC, Pete. Thanks for asking. I may have forgotten that. Thanks a lot. Yeah. It's great.
Okay, GTC. Okay.
Yeah. Excellent day. Have a nice Christmas.
Sounds good.
If we don't speak...
Hold on. For once, I had a TV recommendation.
Yes. Go on.
I never have TV recommendations, but I watched 14 Peaks.
No. I recommended that to you on WhatsApp. You can't just go stealing that.
I watched it before you.
Yeah, but you didn't mention it until... No, hang on a sec. No. I texted. I knew Pete's into that, or Jeff, his ex-boss, is climbed Everest and all that stuff. I said, I've got the treadmill. I've run out of things to watch. I've been watching Selling Sunset. I love the houses and that. There's a lot of bitchiness going on there. And I come to the end, I thought, what else can I watch? And I saw that advertisement. It looks a bit dull, a guy climbing 14 mountains, a bit repetitive. But I put it on. I haven't watched all of it yet, but I was really, really into it. It's really good. Yeah. It doesn't just delve into his life. It starts off, you don't know who the guy is. You think he's a bit of a clown. Is he trying to do this? And then you realise, oh, hang on, he's the real deal, this guy. And they dig into his background, and he's an amazing character. You know, he's achieved a lot, and he's a tough cookie, isn't he?
Yeah.
But no, it's surprisingly good. And if you've been like me looking at the screen thinking, that's going to be so boring, 14 Peaks. But it's not. It's good. Yeah, I'd watch. Netflix is that.
Yeah. So that's my recommendation.
I've got a love of Paddy. He said, a bit of chronological. I did think Pete said, what do you want? I said, no, the life story wasn't chronological. It was dipping in and out. But the mountains were. I mean, what do you want? Now we're going to peak 7. Now back to peak 2. Yeah, now we're going to, peak 14.
My point was that's the issue with a story like that, is that you've got to try and cram 14. Mountains look the same on camera, really. It's very hard to make them look different. So if you try and shoehorn 14 of them into one film, you're making life hard for yourself.
That was
my point.
I understand. Do you know what though? They do surprisingly well with it. I was surprised. Like I said, I was put off by it. 14 Peaks. Do I really want to watch? I'm on the treadmill. Do I really want to watch a guy climb 14 mountains? But no, it's worth watching. There's a lot of depth in there, and it's quite an inspiring story, I think. There was also, do you know what I've just started watching again? We started watching this about a year ago, I think. It's called Startup. Have you watched that? I'm really liking it. Ronnie is the man. He's a legend. But have you seen it, Steve?
I've completed it.
Oh, I said get Steve. Get her. Ooh. We're back on track.
It's
called Startup. And it's got Martin Freeman, is it? He's not good at that.
What's his accent like?
Yeah, not that good.
Terrible. He's not in the last one.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Oh, Steve, thanks for that, fella. Well done. Well done.
Yeah, Steve. Oh, yeah, he gets shot at the end of the first season. Oh,
well, yeah, right. Exactly. He's not in the last one. Yeah, exactly. But no, he is a bit...
I was watching that drama about Bill Clinton last night. Have you seen that? Some iPlayer?
No.
But it's Clive Owen playing Bill Clinton, and I've not been watching this. It's been on in the corner of the room while my girlfriend's been watching it. But the guy who's playing Bill Clinton has got a big prosthetic nose, a big prosthetic forehead, and there's no way you would be able to tell it's Clive Owen. He's nailed the accent perfect, like absolutely perfectly.
Clive Owen from
Take
That.
Think he was British. Clive Owen from
The
Chancer.
Who's the guy from Take That then?
It's Mark Owen.
I was going to say, I'm Bill Clinton. I'll see straight through that. His voice.
That's a stretch, isn't it? From Mark Owen of Take That playing Bill Clinton.
I know. Well, that's an awful awful casting that was. But Clive Owen, I see that. Okay. Is there any good in the pad?
It's all right, yeah. They stretched out him and Monica Winsley over 10 episodes. So, I mean, really delving into the issues of the story. But, it's vaguely interesting.
Okay. Anything from you, Steve?
No, I haven't thought about it. So, no, I can't think of anything offhand.
Well, it's not that. I just think, what are you watching on TV?
MasterChef's on again, guys.
Sod MasterChef. I don't even care. I'm watching people cook food. I just find it, and then you get this kind of tasting it. That's disgusting. See those idiots eating food.
It's all men this series. There's only men competing, which is quite strange.
Let's all write a letter to the BBC. And I guarantee what happened. If you write a letter to the BBC, they complain about that. I guarantee next year it'll never happen again. So, we've offended someone. Oh, we offended someone. Oh, we offended someone. Are we offending someone with this? That's how their programme is written. Are we like to offend anyone with this? If you start with that, you're not going to do anything, are you?
I just think it's weird, though, that every contestant's a man. That's strange.
Yeah. Okay, anyway. I'm never going to watch her anyway. Okay, cool. Have a nice Christmas, boys. And we'll
have a great holiday.
And I've got to say,
hope you make it home.
Yeah, thanks for that.
Hope you make it there. Hope you make it home.
Would you make it home? It's just a bit dark, isn't it? I'm saying Happy Christmas.
Well, no, I could have said, I hope you don't make it home.
Bye.
But you put the question in my head. Now they want to crash. Well, you crash now, Steve. You feel quite bad about it.
I didn't say we could crash.
Yeah. Send us your passwords. You might be quarantined.
Send us your passwords.
Yes, the last thing I'll do is as the plane's going down, diving like hell, and everyone's screaming their heads off, I've got to send my passwords to the boys.
On the WhatsApp group. Yeah.
In fact, I've got to get some Wi-Fi. Trying to buy some Wi-Fi while the friend is diving. I've got to get some Wi-Fi, excuse me. Okay, cool.
The password's escape hunt.
All right, cheers, boys. Forget next week or the week after. Week after that.
Next year.
All right, ladies.
The Share Pickers Weekend Podcast with Justin, Paddy, Peter, and Steve. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.